versus Barnard, Mr. Schultz.
May it please the court, Your Honor, Barry Schultz, on behalf of the plaintiff, Napoleon Keyes. Plaintiff requests that this court reverse the decision of the administrative law judge and the appeals counsel under the final regulations implementing the child disability supplemental security income statute.
What is that about? I didn't understand. I don't understand child disability.
Children whose parents are impoverished under certain income and asset guidelines, the parents are eligible to receive, or guardians are eligible to receive, supplemental security income benefits on the child's behalf.
Why?
I believe the theory is that if a parent has a disabled child, the parent might not be able to work. They might have to stay home to take care of the child, or there will be increased medical...
But then is the child's disability something else from being disabled from working? That's what I find puzzling. I mean, if you had a 10-year-old child, what would it mean for him to be disabled? Because 10-year-olds aren't allowed to work anyway.
Right. So that the regulations indicate, and the statute indicates, that a child has to have either meet a listed impairment, which is a similar kind of finding for the adult disability provisions, or they have to have marked limitations in two areas of functioning. And that's considered to be the functional
So this is unrelated to work.
It's unrelated to work.
Now, but he now, isn't he in his 20s now?
He's 19 years old now.
He's 19. What is the relevant age for him?
Well, when he turned 18, then the adult provisions would apply to him.
So is this about his disability before he turned 18?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. That explains it.
You're welcome. Under the final regulations which are currently in place, the domain of acquiring and using information requires consideration of a child's ability to perform basic mathematical computations. I believe undisputed on this record that Napoleon has a marked limitation in his ability to perform mathematical skills. Medical expert acknowledged that there was evidence that he was 2 to 3 grades below his appropriate grade level in math. And the record consists of a number of records, exhibits, which establish Napoleon's deficiencies in math. Under the interim final regulations, which were in effect at the time of the ALJ's decision, there was no specific requirement that the ability to perform mathematical computations be considered. Similarly, under the current domain of interacting and relating to others, the ability to develop or initiate and develop friendships with same-age children is a requirement that the adjudicators must consider. There's significant evidence in this record that Napoleon did not have friends his own age. He had one child at school who he said was his friend, but he never saw that student outside of school. He never talked to him on the phone. The only people that children Napoleon ever saw outside of school were children that were at least 2 years younger than him. And in one, if there were 3 children he saw, 2 were his cousins, 5 years and 3 years younger than him, and one was a neighbor child who lived in the same building that Napoleon did, and Napoleon's legal guardian watched this child. Apparently he had a lot of problems at home. He was 2 years younger than Napoleon. Again, under the prior area of functioning, on the interim regulation, there was, on social development, there was no specific requirement that the adjudicator consider the child's ability to develop relationships with same age peers. There was only a requirement that the ALJ consider, or the adjudicator consider, the ability to develop friendships. But that's different than the requirement of the ability to develop friendships with children of the same age. And then similarly, under the domain of caring for self, the child's emotional health must be considered. Under the interim final regulation, the prior regulation, well, similar to caring for self, was personal functioning. there was no requirement under the personal functioning area that an ALJ consider the emotional health of the child. And in Exhibit 15F, which is a psychological evaluation performed in December of 1995, there was a two-day evaluation during which eight separate psychological tests were administered. The psychologist found that Napoleon was greatly limited in his emotional functioning. The psychologist found that Napoleon was currently feeling overwhelmed with stress, that it was difficult, if not impossible, for him to deal with his emotions due to the complexity of his emotional difficulties. And, quote, this constant struggle serves to create more anxiety than Napoleon can cope with, close quote. The ALJ, again, did not consider, or there's no evidence that he considered, Napoleon's emotional health because it was not a requirement under the interim final regulations. However, under the final regulations, it is a requirement, and there's substantial evidence on this record that Napoleon suffers a marked limitation in the area of emotional health. I should point out that the ALJ did find that Napoleon was markedly limited in one area, that of concentration, persistence, and pace, which I think all parties agree is substantially similar to the current domain of attending and completing tasks. So if Napoleon has one more marked limitation in one other area, he should have been found disabled under the regulations. The commissioner argues to this court that this court should apply the interim final regulations that were in effect at the time of the ALJ's decision in evaluating this claim. However, the commissioner did not make that argument to the district court. Plaintiff clearly argued to the district court that the court should review the case under the final regulations, and the commissioner based her argument on that fact, that it was the final regulations that should be considered. However, in this court, the commissioner is taking a different approach and suggesting that the interim final regulations should be applied. The commissioner's primary argument there is based on the Federal Register, but the language cited by the commissioner in the Federal Register specifically says that for cases where the administration had issued a final decision prior to the effective date of the regulations, and cases that were pending judicial review prior to the effective date of the final regulations, that they expected the court would apply the prior regulation, the interim final regulation. But in this case, Napoleon's claim was still pending at the Appeals Council. It was still pending administrative review at the time the final regulations took effect, and therefore this court, according to the Federal Register language set forth by the commissioner, this court should apply the final regulation in reviewing this claim. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Marcel?
Good morning, Your Honor. Kurt Marcel for the commissioner. Your Honor, substantial evidence supports the ALJ's decision that this child did not meet medically equal or functionally equal or listed impairment, and the ALJ in this case decided the case under the interim final regulations, which were the regulations in effect at the time of the ALJ's decision. That was appropriate. There was never any mention that the ALJ's decision wasn't supported by substantial evidence on the basis of those interim final regulations.
Well, taking the position that there's really no difference between those interim regulations and the final regulations, you're really putting up an awful lot of effort trying to get us to decide this case under the interim as opposed to the final. Are they really the same?
Yes, Your Honor, we believe they are substantially similar, and the regulations themselves...
Then why do you care?
Because the problem, Your Honor, is that in this case, as in a lot of cases similar to this, the agency frequently amends its regulations. And if, on the basis of amended regulations, the agency were required to re-adjudicate all cases decided by an ALJ simply because we amended our regulations, it would create a huge burden on the agency. Therefore, it's extremely important that the court evaluate this case in light of the regulations in effect at the time of the ALJ decision.
No, but they weren't in effect at the time the Appeals Council decided not to review the case, am I right?
Yes, when the appeals council denied review, the final regulations, the effective date provision, or the effective date of the final regulations had passed.
And it was only as of that action, that agency action, that the decision of the appeals council not to review the case, that the decision of the ALJ became the final decision of the agency. Am I correct?
Correct. When the appeals council denies review, the ALJ's decision becomes final.
And if the appeals council had decided to review this case, it would have done so under the new regulations.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, then, if that action of the appeals council and failing to take any further action becomes the final action of the agency, why don't we use the new regulations? And it says that at that day that the agency made up its mind what it was going to do with this case.
Well, I think, Your Honor, the regulations state that with respect to claims in which we have made a final decision, at the time of, we had made a final decision at the time of the effective date. It hadn't become final yet, but we had made a
final decision. You had made a decision, and you hadn't decided it was going to be the final decision until your appeals counsel said, we're not going to look at this any further.
That's correct.
And at that time, the preliminary regulations were in place.
That's correct. But again, I would point once again to the Federal Register, and it says a final decision. And in fact, when the appeals council denies review, making the ALJ's decision final, that's the decision the courts review. And again, it would lead to the same problem. If that were the only distinction, we would have the same problem, whereby we amend our regulations, and those cases have to be remanded.
Didn't the appeals council say it was considering the new regulations?
It did. It did consider the claim under the new regulations.
Well, then I don't understand what you're arguing about.
Again, Your Honor, consistent, regardless of what the appeals
council... I mean, what could they say? We considered under the new regulations, and under the new regulations, he would be entitled to benefits, but we're not going to give them to him because... case is governed by the interim regulations?
Actually, no, the appeals council said his case wasn't entitled under...
No, I know that, but suppose they found he would be entitled under the new regulations, would they have given him the benefits? Your argument seems to be no.
No, I believe if, you know, if we decide to grant review, we do apply the new
regulations.
But
the appeals council said it did consider the new regulations.
It did. My point, Your Honor, is if the appeals council grants review, it would apply the new regulations.
But I don't understand you. Why does it... It is applying the new regulations if it says, you know, he wouldn't be entitled even under them. Is that applying them under
them? It considered the appeals council considered Mr. Keith's claim under the new regulations. That's correct.
Right, and if they thought he had a good claim under the regulations, they would have reversed, wouldn't they? Wouldn't the appeals council reverse?
They may have granted review, and they may have asked for further proceedings.
So, I don't understand you. They do consider the new regulations. If they think there's a violation of them, and or entitlement under them, then they reverse. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, in effect, Your Honor, regardless of what the appeals council did, here we have a final decision that was decided.
Okay, regardless of these, why did the appeals council consider the new regulations if they're not applicable?
Because it says the regulations provide in the Federal Register that we will apply the final rules through the entire period of issue for claims that are pending at any stage of our administrative review. So if the appeals council considers the final regulations, that's consistent. However, the appeals council denied review in this case. Their determination is not subject to judicial review. Therefore, it's the ALJ's decision, which is the final decision subject to judicial review. It's crucial that the ALJ's decision be evaluated under the regulations in effect at the time of that decision, as contemplated by our regulations.
Why is it crucial? Because if the appeals council thought that he had a good claim under the new regulations, they would review and give him his benefits. So I don't get it.
But that would be true under the
practical significance of what you're arguing.
The practical significance of what I'm arguing is that the agency has expressed in its regulations its preference that courts review agency decisions at the time, in accordance with the law at the time the ALJ renders them, or the final decision. In this case, the final decision was rendered by an administrative law judge. Therefore, we would expect that the court review that decision in accordance with those regulations. However, even if the court determines that it should review this case in light of the new regulations, as we argued in the district court and the district court correctly found, the new regulations do not provide relief in this case either. The new regulations continue to define the standard in terms of marks, two marked limitations or one severe or extreme limitation, and they merely reorganize, clarify, and reclassify the old regulations. And if you look at the regulations, the interim versus the final regulations, they are substantially similar. The interim regulations considered five broad areas, the first of which was cognitive and communicative. Many of the examples listed in the final regulations contain almost the same language contained in the interim final regulations. Thus, if the ALJ's decision was supported by substantial evidence under the interim final regulations, it would be supported under the final regulations as well. Similarly, social functioning correlates with the final regulations, which are interacting and relating to others. Those, again, social functioning under the interim final regulations concerns the ability to initiate and develop friendships, relate appropriately to individual peers and adults and to peer and adult groups, reconcile conflicts between adults. In the final regulations, interacting and relating to others gives examples of the types of behavior that might demonstrate some level of impairment. Those include no close friends or friends are older or younger than you. You avoid or withdraw from people you know, are overly anxious or fearful of meeting new people or trying new experiences. Difficulty playing games. Difficulty communicating with others. These, in addition to being substantially similar, the record doesn't support finding that Mr. Keyes had a significant limitation under the interim final rights or the final regulations. Moreover, at his hearing before the ALJ, his attorney even said to the ALJ, it appears that his social functioning doesn't seem to be that limited. He conceded that his intellectual functioning is low average range. Therefore, it's difficult to see how now he's arguing that there's marked limitations in social functioning when he conceded at the hearing there weren't. Cognitive communication.
So what if the appeals counsel said, well, we've looked at this under the new regulations, the final regulations, and we think he probably has a good claim under the final regulations, but we're not that interested in the case, and therefore we deny review. So he would have no remedy in that case, would he?
Well, again, it's a discretionary determination by the appeals counsel, and if they were to use that sort of language, that may be an error, some sort of error that could be reviewable. That's not what happened here.
No, okay, well, thank you, Mr. Marcel. Mr. Schultz, I think you have 2 minutes.
I did want to address one thing. The commissioner cited supplemental authority to this court, a case of Curran Kiki versus Barnhart, an Eighth Circuit case, on the question of which regulation should be applied. In Curran Kiki, the appeals counsel's decision had been issued prior to the effective date of the regulations in issue, so it does not support the commissioner's position in this case. Although the current domains in the final regulations are similar to the prior areas of functioning, they are not the same. And as I pointed out in my initial argument, that the current final regulations, there are at least 3 separate references to a claimant's emotional health. There are no references in the prior areas of functioning to a claimant's emotional health. There are at least 2 references to the ability to develop same-age friendship. There were no references in the prior regulations to developing same-age friendships. Similarly, there are two references currently to the ability to perform mathematical skills. There were no references in the prior regulations to the ability to perform those skills. And finally, I believe that the Appeals Council did commit a mistake of law in this case in finding that the final regulations did not provide a basis for changing the ALJ's decision, given the differences which are important to Napoleon in this case.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Schultz and Mr. Schultz.